Welcome to Stepping Off Now, a podcast about how to live your creative best life. If you're feeling creatively stuck, burned out, or like you're not fulfilling your true creative potential, this podcast is for you. I'm Kendra, a social scientist and writer. I spent decades feeling creatively unfulfilled while I pursued conventional life goals, culminating in severe burnout that took years to recover from. This podcast chronicles my journey in real time as I find my way home to my essential creative self and seek to live my own creative best life. I discuss topics like harnessing the intuitive creative process, using creativity to manage mental health, and sorting through all the external pressures and expectations to figure out what you really want. My hope is that you'll find inspiration and solace here. You are not alone, and you are stronger and wiser than you know. You can find out more by visiting my website, kendrapatterson.com. Now, on to the show. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. I hope y'all are doing well. Things are going pretty well for me, and that's where I want to start with an update on my creative project, which is my novel, of course. I finally finished draft 13, which was the most hellish draft I have ever embarked upon of any kind of project that I've ever done, including my dissertation. It really threw me for a loop and often felt like I was on a ship on really stormy seas, and there would be times when there would be like a lull in the storm and I'd be like, okay, I think it's going to be okay. And then I would get slapped sideways by a huge wave and just be fighting the elements all over again. But at long last, one morning, I looked up and the skies were clearing and I was done. The last quarter of my novel is actually kind of still a bit messy, but I do think that it is in the form that I want it to be. And that from here on out, hopefully all that it really requires is successive rounds of editing to polish it up. One of the interesting things that I ended up doing in this draft is I shortened the chapters of the final section of the novel even more. So I've been doing that over the last couple drafts because my novel is alternating timelines with two different characters. And I feel that there's sort of a sweet spot in terms of chapter length that is really kind of project-based rather than general for this type of novel, where the chapters aren't too short or too long. But what I realized when I got to draft 13 and working on that final section of the novel is that the chapters needed to be, not only many of them needed to be shortened, but the chapters needed to be a variable length in that section. So I'm one of those people, I get a little bit anal about chapter length, and I tend to like them to be within a certain word count of each other, like maybe like 100 words of each other, which is really kind of unnecessary. It's something I need to relax about. And indeed, that's what I did when I went through the final section of the novel, and I realized in draft 13, you know, this section would really benefit from chopping up the chapters even more. Some of them, not all of them. That's the section of the novel where things get a little chaotic. It's the climax of the novel, and some of the chapters are really short, less than 1,000 words. Some of them are longer, 2,000 to 3,000 words. And I think that it suits the character of that section of the novel. It's where the stories of my two main characters finally come together, and you start seeing the effects of them interacting with the quantum world, so to speak. And there are some weird time-related effects, like reversal of cause and effect, and that type of thing. So I'm feeling pretty good about draft 13. I continue to feel frustrated that the novel is not yet finished, but I can say that I finally feel like I have an actual novel with a plot and everything, character arcs, themes, story, etc. And that's a brand new feeling for me, to actually feel confident in what I have. That is to say that I actually have a real novel. Don't know yet how I feel about how good it is, but it's an actual real novel with a plot and everything. And I'm very proud of that because I have genuinely worked my ass off for this. Learning how to write a novel is essentially what I have been doing over the last couple years of this project. And believe it or not, that's not really something I realized I would have to be doing going into this, which seems incredibly stupid in retrospect, and indeed it kind of is. But I guess I imagined, because I love novels and I've been reading novels since I could read, that I would somehow be able to do it and it would work out. And yes, I'd have to work at it, but it would maybe come naturally to me. Well, that couldn't be further from the truth. Nothing about this final part of my process of working on this novel has felt like it's come naturally to me. But as is always the case, the more effort you put into something, the more valuable the experience feels in retrospect in terms of the growth. What this all means is that I am, well, I mean, getting closer. I'm almost there. And I feel that I can say that with confidence. I'm not going to hit my end of February deadline, but that's okay, because it's, I can feel that, you know, I'm going to get there, and it's going to be within the next however many months, and that feels really, really good. As I've talked about in other episodes, or at least alluded to, this final stage of finishing up the novel has been unlike the previous stages of writing this. And a lot of the lessons that I learned along the way in the early stages of writing this novel, I've had to kind of throw out the window in this final stage. Not discard, because they were and remain relevant to create a process and create a practice. But what I've discovered is that this final stage is an entirely different type of thing from my normal, ordinary creative practice. My normal, ordinary creative practice is something that I focus hard on making sure that it's enjoyable and that it adds value to my life in a general sense, and that it is part of a broader creative life that I'm living. That is to say, it's sort of balanced with other parts of my life in a kind of reciprocal, mutually constitutive way. My creative practice feeds into other parts of my life, which feed back into my creative practice. That's not what is happening here in the final stage. This does not feel like ordinary times to me. Any semblance of balance that I had in my life has fallen apart. I don't have much focus for anything else other than trying to finish my novel. A lot of activities, healthy habits, etc., have fallen by the wayside. For the time being, I have confidence I'll get back to that stuff once this phase of the project is over. But for a long time, I was kind of beating myself up about that. Like, why can't I continue to sustain my normal creative practice that fits in with the rest of my life, and I feel, you know, generally good about my life when I have this sustained creative practice? And now I feel completely off kilter, and even though I'm not spending every waking moment working on my novel, I mean, during draft 13, there were some days where I probably didn't write more than one or two sentences, and that was all that I could manage. I just don't have the energy and focus to do much else, you know, besides the bare minimum of what I have to do to maintain my life and continue earning money and etc. It's almost like I've entered this brain state where I always kind of want to be partially immersed in the world of my novel, even if I'm not consciously thinking about it. So as I've gotten into draft 14, and I feel like I'm sort of coming up for air a little bit, I started thinking about all of this and how I have this underlying sense of guilt almost that it's different right now and I'm kind of struggling more than I like to, because I don't see that as like sustainable. You can only struggle for so long, like I have been struggling with the end of this novel and, you know, not getting myself out to exercise, etc. And as always, I'm like, how can I re-envision this? Because I'm not going to force myself to do things that I quote unquote should do just because they're things I should do. So if I feel like I need to kind of sit with myself right now and really focus in and be in this whatever kind of special brain state this is that I'm in order to finish my novel, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to trust my own intuition on that and go where it leads me. What is a way that I can re-envision what I'm experiencing right now that is a useful and positive, constructive way of seeing what's going on with me in this final stage of completing my novel. And I started thinking about the difference between ordinary times and extraordinary times. And this led me down a bit of a rabbit hole in terms of research. I first looked to see if anyone else has done any work on the difference between ordinary times in creative practice and extraordinary times. So ordinary times being my regular creative practice, where there may be, you know, some blips and ups and downs, but it's pretty even-keeled and regular and consistent. And then extraordinary times being what I'm going through now, where it's like being on a boat being tossed on stormy seas and having this big goal at the end, destination that I'm headed towards, and it's all I can think about. Whereas in normal times, creative practice, I don't have a goal like that, at least not one that's like right there in front of me that I'm headed towards. It's more like being on a calm open sea. And you're in the journey, but the destination is so far off that it's really not worth thinking about too much. Well, I didn't really find anything when it comes to ordinary versus extraordinary times in creative process. There is a lot about the stages of the creative process, which are like, I think there are like five. What are they? Gathering information, implementing it, sitting back and sort of evaluating it. I don't remember what they are because I don't find that map particularly useful. For me, the creative process is much more mixed up. It doesn't proceed in such a linear fashion. And it's very iterative too. So you go through all of those stages in a mixed up way over and over and over again. That's how I experience it. But generally speaking, that's how the creative process is kind of envisioned by a lot of people, a lot of creativity experts out there, as a somewhat linear process. And when you get to the final stage of a project, it's just either more of the same, except you're working on the end, or it's seen as the next step or final step of this process, where all the steps are connected and it's just all part of a whole. But that's not how I've experienced it. I've experienced this final stage as something that is entirely separate and fundamentally different from the rest of my process of working on this novel. So I decided to look further afield for some kind of explanation that would resonate with my experience. And I found it, weirdly enough, in the religious calendar, the liturgical calendar. You may or may not have this depending on what religions you're familiar with. I'm familiar with it because I am familiar with Episcopalianism, but it comes from the Catholic Church. I'm not particularly religious, but I do like understanding religions. I like learning about them, religions of all kinds. And in these religions, there is ordinary times and extraordinary times. And the extraordinary times are, of course, the holidays, what secular people would refer to as the holidays. And ordinary times are the parts of the calendar year where nothing particularly big is happening and you're in this period between those extraordinary times. But in the religious calendar, ordinary times doesn't actually mean that those times are ordinary. What that actually refers to is the counting of time as it passes. Ordinary comes from ordinal numbers. So it refers to the passage of time in a regular sort of way. When I learned that, it really was like an aha moment for me because it very much resonates with my experience of regular creative practice and what I'm going through right now. Regular creative practice for me very much is, in a sense, a counting off of the passage of time, but doing it through those regular sessions of creative work over time that I do in such a way that I can sustain them regularly for the long term. What I'm experiencing now, what I am referring to as extraordinary time in my creative practice, is a time where sometimes I can work for 4 hours and other times I might not actually be able to work at all, at least in the sense of putting words on the page. It's a time in which the actual passing of time becomes chaotic in terms of how I measure it during ordinary times in my creative practice, which is that regular practice session. of creative work. It suddenly feels like I'm in this period of weird, chaotic stasis. So there's a feeling of maybe not moving forward at all, but so much is happening. So it very much is like that metaphor I used at the beginning of this episode, where you're in the midst of a storm and you don't really know if you're being tossed backwards on course or being pushed forward really fast because you're fighting so much just to stay afloat and to not be swept away by the waters. When I started to think about this phase that I'm in right now as an extraordinary time in the life of my project, and in this case, I don't necessarily use extraordinary in the typical way to mean positive, something positive and good. I mean it more in the sense of extraordinary, so outside of the ordinary. It was like I felt a release, a sense of relief that it is absolutely okay right now for me to kind of only be able to focus on my novel and to have a whole bunch of other things fall by the wayside, because this won't last forever. And this is actually a precious time where normal time doesn't apply. Normal ways of doing things don't apply. Just like when you reach a period of celebration in the liturgical calendar, where it's no longer ordinary time, and suddenly you have all of these things that you're doing and you're involved with as part of the celebration that are extraordinary, and you probably do let things fall by the wayside while you're preparing to not just celebrate, but to experience this other aspect of the divine that goes along with that particular period of non-ordinary or extraordinary time in the liturgical calendar. What if what I'm experiencing right now, what you experience as a creative working on a project and getting to this part of it, is extraordinary? That is to say, not something that should be rushed through, an experience that needs to be sat with and appreciated, savored, a time when you go deeper into yourself, into the mysteries of creative process and practice and story and art. I continued down my rabbit hole of research and started thinking about other ways that human beings like to create and experience extraordinary times in the form of doing and behaving in ways that are not necessarily even acceptable during normal times. For example, Mardi Gras, which of course is related to the liturgical calendar in that it is a celebration of Fat Tuesday before Lent. Mardi Gras is a type of carnival, and the concept of carnival is something you see in a number of cultures called a number of different things. Down in the Bahamas, they have one called Junkanoo. Here, we don't tend to call it carnival in the United States. We call it Mardi Gras. There's also one called Gasparilla, which is in Tampa. But in all cases, what a carnival of this type consists of is people dressing up and often wearing masks and dancing and celebrating and often taking mind-altering substances, even disrobing. Of course, Mardi Gras is rather famous for that part of it. All things that can be a little shocking from the perspective of normal times, ordinary times. But the whole point of this kind of carnival is to subvert and let out your inner wildness, to go crazy for a little while even, because it's not ordinary times. And human beings, in a general sense, need extraordinary times. We need times of celebration or times where we just let loose, where we mix things up a bit, where time ceases to pass in the normal way and we get lost in it and we can have this communion with something different, something deeper. What if that is what I'm experiencing here at the end of my creative project? What if we reconceptualized this final stage as an extraordinary time where we let loose and allow the project to come to fruition in the way that it wants to, where we release our final illusions of control over creative process and let things get wild. That seems like the opposite of what we should do, right? It feels like the end of the project should be the time where we're tightening control and we're tying up loose ends. But what if that's not actually what we need to be doing? What if the final phase of a project is when we let it come alive, almost like actually giving birth, right? We let it finally start living a life of its own. A lot of this has more to do with perspective and a shift in how we conceptualize our project than doing anything specific. Because what I'm finding is that during this extraordinary time, it really is this feeling that the project is kind of yanking me around. It's the one making the decisions. So it already feels like that's what's happening. It doesn't feel like I necessarily need to do anything other than just work on trusting more and following my intuition and letting go. But this mindset part of it, the shift in perception, can be challenging because, like a lot of aspects of creative process, it feels like the opposite of what should be happening. And so I have one final thought about this that is helping me right now, and that is the moon card in the tarot deck. Longtime listeners will know that I'm a big fan of tarot. If you're not, bear with me for a moment, because I'm not talking about tarot as a divinatory tool, which is not how I use it. I use it as a system of symbolism that portrays different psychological experiences in the human life. The moon card represents periods of time where nothing is as it seems. This is represented by the moon because when we are outside at night and there's moonlight, it changes the landscape. Colors look different, shadows are weird, it's dark, so some things are obscured, other things stand out. It's different from what it looks like in daylight, and it's easy to be fooled. So part of the moon card is that it's a card of illusion, but it's also a card that represents, in a sense, buying into those illusions, allowing yourself to experience a time where up is down and down is left and left is right. It's a time to see things in a different way or see things you wouldn't see during the daytime. And of course, there are some things that you would only see at night. Animals that only come out at night. Certain plants that look different, that have a bioluminescence or something like that. Different kinds of sounds. The moon card tells us to not be afraid of such experiences, to lean into them, to appreciate that sometimes in life there are just times like this. And if we open ourselves to them, there is a lot that can be gained. And in particular, the moon card tells us to allow those more buried aspects of ourselves that our culture tells us we should be ignoring or repressing, or instincts we have that don't follow along with the quote-unquote right way to do things or best practices or whatever it is, that we should allow those things their moment in the sun, except, of course, in this case, it's the moonlight. And I think it's important to note that the moon card does not tell us that these things won't be scary, that they won't feel overwhelming. It just reminds us that there's something magical there for us to receive, to experience in the liturgical calendar, replace magical with divine. If you're spiritual, maybe that's more how you experience it as something, a connection with the divine, but maybe with the darker face of the divine even. There's tremendous power there to tap into if we open ourselves to that experience, if we allow ourselves to have these exceptional times. And I, of course, am speaking specifically in terms of creative projects here and how I view or am learning to view this final stage as an exceptional time. But this can apply to life in general. So if you are experiencing a period of your life where you feel that you are being tossed around on that stormy sea, that nothing makes sense anymore that used to make sense, that whatever was working before isn't working, give this a try. reconceptualizing what you're experiencing as an exceptional time using some of the tools that I spoke about today and see what happens. Thank you so much for being here today with me and spending this time with me. I hope all your creative projects are going well, or if they're not going well, that you're able to find value in whatever phase it is that you are experiencing right now in the life of your projects and your creative practice. I'll see you back here in a couple weeks. Bye.